If you're new or visiting, we've been posting up in the Sermon on the Mount really since the beginning of the year. And for the last like 4 to 5 weeks, we've been doing a deep dive into the Lord's Prayer. Now we're zooming back out and we're jumping back into the Sermon on the Mount proper. And this text, it comes across as really, really simple, but I believe it's mind-bogglingly profound. And so let's read it together, and then let's go deep into Jesus' teaching on treasures. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's some stuff here that's hard to grasp because the English translation here kind of hides some things. The first is where it says, don't store up yourselves treasures on earth. There's actually a Greek word that we don't have in English, and it's the word hoard treasure. We don't have that word in English. We have hoard. We have store up. We have lock down. But we don't have hoard treasure. And so then there's also, it repeats itself, or Jesus repeats himself, don't hoard treasure your treasures on earth. So there's two treasures there, athaidzo and then athesaurus, which sounds like a dinosaur, but just means treasure. And you can hear the athe in both of those words, that they're connected. Don't hoard yourselves treasures your treasures. Don't treasurize your treasures, which is kind of odd. Jesus really wants to emphasize this. He's going out of his way to emphasize it. And then where it says vermin, actually that's the noun eating. So moths and eating destroy. Scholars aren't quite sure. We think this might be an idiom. But whatever it is, the sense is that whatever our treasures are, and we'll talk about that in a minute, they're the kinds of things that insects can consume, which is odd. And then they're also the kinds of things that thieves can break in and steal. Well, this probably had more of an impact to ancient people than it does to us. A show of hands. Who here is worried that insects and rats, while you're here at church, are going to invade your home and eat your stuff? Who's worried about that? Nobody. Oh, Tammy's worried. Are you really, like, that's something that stresses you out? Well, your husband, so if you don't know, Tammy Klein's husband, Kevin, he's a killer of animals, like a slayer of beasts. So you've got the right guy to help you out. But most of us don't worry about that. Or how many of us, every time we go to sleep at night, we can't fall asleep because we're worried that thieves are going to come into our home and steal our stuff. Anybody lose sleep over that? And the reason is there's a bunch of gun nuts in this congregation, and you're hoping a thief will come in so you can use that shotgun underneath your bed. You're crazy, I don't get it, but that's you. That's awesome. My point is that when Jesus is speaking to people, he's speaking to people who live in a much more vulnerable society than we do. And part of that is that we, as Americans especially, have gone out of our way to develop technologies that kind of make it less likely that we're going to lose our treasures. Any Bitcoin investors, cryptocurrency? All right, right on. A couple of you. So Brent, I think Brent Cheshire, he's teaching right now, but he forced me to buy an altcoin yesterday for my birthday. So I spent more money on crypto that I'll probably never see again. But I have a friend named Evan. And if you don't know the history of Bitcoin, it probably, for the first like 2 years it existed, you couldn't really even buy it. In 2010, it really became something you could get. And it was priced at about 10 cents for a Bitcoin. And my buddy Evan was always into the coolest new technology and all the things. And he had a friend who's like, you got to get into this Bitcoin in case the all of Western finance falls apart. You need to have, this backup plan. And so my buddy Evan was a little bit skeptical, but he was like, ah, sure, why not? It's, 50 cents for a Bitcoin, 10 cents, whatever it was. So he bought 100 Bitcoins, in 2010. And at that time, in order to save your Bitcoin, you had to have what's called a digital wallet. It's a program on your computer, because a Bitcoin's not a real thing, it's just a string of code. And you had a place to store that. And so he downloaded this app, I guess we'd call it now, that stores your Bitcoin. And if you know anything about crypto investors, they're highly paranoid. They think that everyone's out to steal their stuff. And so this digital wallet had a safety feature. And the safety feature is this. If you input your password, the wrong password, 3 times in a row, it shuts down forever. It's gone. You can never open the app ever again. This is supposed to stop people from having an incentive to try to hack you. Because if they miss 3 times, everything's gone. So my buddy Evan, he kind of forgot about Bitcoin for a while. About a year after he purchased it, or 2 years after he purchased it, it was starting to move. Now Bitcoin had gone from like 10, 50 cents, whatever it was, to something like $150 per Bitcoin. He was like, wow, that's a really good deal. I should try to get my Bitcoins out. And he opened up his computer and he used his favorite password. Nope. That's not it. So he was like, okay. So he waited a couple more years. And a couple years later, now Bitcoin's in the 1,000 to 10,000 range. And he's like, I've got this laptop. There's 100 Bitcoins. Every single one of them is worth 5, 10 grand. I could really use this. And so he goes back to his computer. He looks at all the programs he was using in 2010. He makes a list of his passwords. He gets the most common password he used at that time. He puts it in. You have one more chance. So right now in his closet, my buddy Evan has an old laptop from 2010. It's out of batteries, but it works. And he's waiting, he's hoping that someday he'll remember his password, because right now, those bitcoins, those 100 bitcoins are worth $6.5 million. He laughs about it, he's got a good sense of humor about it, but what have we just learned about all of our technology and how safe it makes us? We think that we're invulnerable, but we are absolutely vulnerable, even to our own decisions and actions. We may not worry that much about thieves and moths and consuming bugs. But everything on this earth is still temporary. And that's the first thing in your note sheets. All earthly treasures are temporary. And just in looking back at the text then, what are these treasures? What are these treasures? So Jesus says, you don't store up your treasures on earth. Why? Because, you know, moths and vermin can destroy them. Thieves can break in and steal. Well, what is he thinking about? What are some of the things that if you were in the ancient world, you might try to lock up and keep safe? Well, if you had precious metals like gold, you might try to store that. Maybe fine clothes or a Persian rug, something like that. Wine was something that people stored then and store now because it doesn't go bad very quickly. Wheat, remember, these are people who are living hand to mouth. It was very rare for them to have food that could last. When I was living in Japan, just this is 20 years ago, my boss, this is 2003, he tells me, when I grew up in a Kagi village, we didn't have refrigerators. That was a technology that happened while I was alive. And I remember getting my first refrigerator because you didn't have to get new milk every day. We live in what is easily the richest society that has ever graced the face of the earth. And not only that, but here in South Orange County, we live in one of the richest parts of it. If we're honest about the things that we treasure, and we think about what Jesus might be talking about, we are way beyond anything like the ancient people could possibly imagine. For us, living in the ancient world would be a horrible bore. Think about the things that we treasure compared to your tunic, wheat, a bottle of wine, a little scrap of gold. We treasure things like prestige. Do you realize in the ancient world, almost nobody could have prestige the way we think about it? Now, anybody who can set up a YouTube account can suddenly develop followers. And if you're really lucky, maybe someday you'll be at the level, and I have a picture here of Taylor Swift. Just dropped a new double album. For I heard that there's some Swifties here. My daughter says there's some bad language and it's kind of inappropriate. So parents, watch your minors on this one. She's traveled far from her Christian country roots. Even think about the music though, right? You're a Swiftie, okay? Well, I remember back when you had to have like a CD to get your music. And even before that, there were, you know, 8 tracks, I think, and vinyl, whatever it is you old people listen to back in the day. But before that, you couldn't even record music. It's only been about 100 years where human beings have been able to take music and carry it with us. Now we take it for granted that I need to have all of Taylor Swift's music available to me at all times. Multitasking with devices. Now, they say that it's more common that when you're watching television, it used to be that you just watched television. Again, something ancient people couldn't even possibly fathom. Like, you used to watch television. Now, there's typically 2 or 3 people, there's a TV on, but we're actually looking at our devices while the TV is playing. We treasure houses and vacations and cars to beautiful, incredible places. And I'm not knocking that. We just went to Kauai and my goodness, there's no more beautiful place on earth. I wish I were still there. We treasure relationships. You realize in the ancient world, it was extremely rare for 2 people to be married because they fell in love. That might actually have been a good thing, it turns out, because their divorce rates were much lower than ours, but what about our kids? We treasure our kids. It's another relationship where we look at and it becomes we want to lock them down and keep them safe because they're so precious and we can't let anything happen to them because that's what gives our lives meaning. I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy your devices or listen to great music and be impacted by it. Or even if you have the opportunity to have some power and prestige, I think those can be good things. I think that relationships can and often are really, really good things. None of these things are bad in and of themselves. But what happens is they become the kinds of things that we want to lock down and store up and hoard. The second thing in your note sheets is we have it way worse. We've got way more earthly treasures than ancient people could have imagined, and that makes things really hard for us. This teaching is more dangerous for us because it's more relevant for us. So let's just take a minute here. Let's take a second. And I got a couple of things we should do. And if you don't have a note sheet, that's okay. You can type it on your phone. And if you don't want to type it, you just want to keep it in your head, that's okay too. But let's think for a second. Just name 3 treasures. Name your top 3 earthly treasures. Take a second and just think. And maybe it's easy for you, maybe it's not. But what is it if you're like, wow, this is the thing, or these are the things that get me up in the morning and keep me up at night? I think if I'm, you know, honest, food and drink are in the top 3 for me. Certainly my family is in the top 3 for me. And now ask yourself this. In what ways are you investing in these treasures? What I mean in what ways? It's like, what is it that you do is it you spend money on them? Or is it you spend incredible amounts of time on them? Or you set these treasures in your thoughts all the time? What is it, in what ways are you pouring into these treasures? And number 3, and this is critical, how much are you investing in these treasures? If you really want to feel bad, go and Google how much time the average person spends on their cell phone, their smartphone every week. It's staggering. And what's even more staggering, we talked about this a few weeks ago, you can go back and check some of the older teachings, that our kids are like almost double us what we do. Okay. let's just admit that we've got these earthly treasures and they're a big deal to us. What is Jesus saying? What's he getting at? Let's go back to the text for just a second and think about this. Okay, he's saying, we've got these treasures on earth that we just pour into. Instead, we're supposed to be, he's saying, what you ought to do is invest in treasures in heaven. But what does that mean? Treasures in heaven. Think about this. Let's say that you would like, oh, well, first, let's look at John 14. One thing we know is that Jesus is preparing us a place. Marilyn, next slide. My Father's house, Jesus is saying to his disciples, has many rooms, a big mansion. And this is probably metaphorical, but it's a good way to think about it. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Jesus is like, I'm leaving. One of the reasons I'm leaving is because I need to prepare a place for my faithful servants. And if I go and prepare that place, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Who's preparing the place? Not you, not me. Think about it. Let's say we're taking Jesus seriously. We're like, man, I want to have a great room in heaven. How am I going to do that? Well, maybe I should buy a rug. Nope. Maybe I should invest in a larger television. Nope. Maybe I should make a lot of friends so that they can be there with me. It's very interesting that all of the things that we do to invest in earthly treasures, they have nothing to do with investing in heavenly treasures. It's a completely different universe, different environment. There's nothing we can do that we would do in order to invest in earthly treasures that will work to get us heavenly treasures. Instead, what are some possibilities? What might we be able to do to invest in heavenly treasures? Well, we have to invest in the kingdom of God. How do we do that? Well, here are some examples. Praying. Missions. There's a missions committee meeting right after the service today in there. If you are interested in checking out missions and maybe getting involved or kind of rebooting, do it. Go. Like, it's open to all. Obviously, you can give. And notice, and then I got a picture of Chris Pratt up there. Chris Pratt's not a perfect human being, but one thing I really appreciate is that he's a guy who is, like, mega famous, mega star, you know, Star-Lord, Jurassic Park. And when he's given the opportunity, what he uses that fame and that prestige for is to bring people to Jesus. I think that's really cool. There's so few people who have power and influence and who use that to glorify God instead of themselves. Isn't that odd? And again, he's not perfect. It's just that picture is from when he gave the gospel at the MTV Movie Awards of all things. What's interesting about all of these things that are investing in heaven is that they are the exact opposite of investing in earthly treasures. So for example, if you want to, you know, hoard up, store up treasures, you have to, like, money, right? You hoard it. You keep putting it in your bank account and your IRA and your Bitcoin. Like, you just, what's the opposite of that? Giving it. When we invest in relationships that make us feel good, right? That's kind of what our natural tendency is. In fact, we manipulate our relationships with our spouses and with our children in order to make us feel good. What is a mission trip other than the exact opposite of that? Where we go to serve somebody else. When we're looking out for ourselves and preparing great things for ourselves, well, what is prayer but the exact opposite? It's setting our attention either on God or on those that we know who are in need and seeking their good. It's the exact opposite. It's just a flip. And unlike most actors, anyone with prestige who uses that to shine the light on Jesus is doing the opposite of what we're supposed to do, which is shine the light on us. It's the next thing in your note sheets. you want to invest in heaven, you want to invest in that room that Jesus is preparing for you, just do the opposite of what you do to invest in your earthly treasures. That's it. What's the purpose of all this? Is it to make it so that we have the best experience of heaven? Well, I think there's a value in that. I do believe in heavenly rewards, and I do think that we should be, you know, storing those up because it is going to make a difference. But Jesus has something even bigger in mind. Look at the last thing that he says. What does he say? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We tend to think, we flip it. We think that where our heart is where we're going to put our treasure. Not so. I mean, if you remember Anchorman, 2003, remember that scene where Will Ferrell like throws a burrito out the window and he hits Jack Black, who's driving a motorcycle. Jack Black stops him and he says, "What's up, bro? Why did you do that to me?" And Will Ferrell's like, "I don't know." And Jack Black looks at his motorcycle. He's like, "That's what I love. That is my baby. What do you love?" And the Anchorman says, "I love poetry, a good glass of scotch, and of course, my friend Baxter here." He points to his dog that he takes everywhere he goes. In the very beginning of the movie, there's a scene where they're cuddling in bed and they both have their headgear on, him and the dog. The dog has an incredible robe that he wears as he goes. The dog is allowed to open the refrigerator and eat the cheese. The dog is Will Ferrell's love in that movie. I thought that was very funny, and it is. And then 3 years ago, my dad and my dog died in the same 3 months. In fact, this is April 21st. I'm pretty sure it was the 21st, and we had to put Piper down. It was my birthday where the vet called me and said, "This is a dog that Aaron and I had had since we first got married. I love that dog. She was a little tiny chihuahua, and I used to fit her in my jacket and drive places with her. And she used to perch on my shoulder like a parrot when we would sit on the couch. To say nothing of my father, who was my best friend and probably the person that I, you know, invested the most time into. And when those things were taken, that's when I realized what I really loved. That's where I realized where my treasure was. And it's because of all of the time and the energy and the money and that I just invested in those, in that dog and in my dad. And over time, you know, obviously with a parent, a lot of us don't come from homes where we have a great parent. My dad was a great father, but I was a numbskull son. And so when I was in my teens and 20s, I've got no time for you. And it really wasn't until my late 20s and early 30s that I really began to put that time in to recognize he really is a wise man. He really is great. And as I did that and as I listened to him and spent time with him, I grew to cherish him more and more and more. And similarly, every time I took Piper, you know, to a place or, you know, our first apartment didn't allow dogs, and so we had to smuggle her in and out by putting her in a backpack, so people wouldn't know. But bringing her wherever we went, and whenever I picked up Aaron at work, Piper was there. Like over time, that investment, she became like such a deep part of my heart. She became where my heart was. And so, because it was COVID, the doctor wouldn't let me be present when she was put down. And so I remember handing the dog to the vet assistant, or maybe it was my mom, and bawling my eyes out. Because this treasure is where my heart was. It's the last thing in your note sheet. And this is where the rubber, you know, meets the road. Whatever you pour your time, your money, your energy, your treasure into, you will come to love for good or for ill. You will either love these earthly treasures, some of which will destroy you, sometimes literally kill you, or you will come to love Jesus, and you will come to love eternity and heaven. And as we just established, think about it. Remember, since investing in heaven is the opposite of investing in earth, anytime you invest in heaven, you can't be investing in earth. You can't. The easiest way to not be investing in earth is to spend time, energy, money, whatever it is, investing in heaven. And that's the title of this sermon is Transform One Treasure. We've listed out, three, next slide, Marilyn. We've listed out three different treasures, earthly treasures. What I'm asking us to think about doing is to transform one of those today. To say, all right, I'm going to make a commitment to devalue, to deplace, deprioritize this treasure and prioritize instead something that is investing in the kingdom of God. Just one. Start small. And then the next thing to think about too, and this is critical, like the idea is simple, yes, but acting on it is hard, okay? Start small, be consistent. Only Holy Spirit power is going to sustain you. You cannot do this on your own. This has to be done in prayer, in submission, and in hope that the Spirit of God will move in power in you. But here's the thing. Say that you're a person who doesn't pray. You're not a prayer. Make a commitment. I'm going to wake up every day this week, and I'm going to say one sentence to God. In that moment, you are going to be investing in heaven. You cannot possibly be investing in earth. And it's a small thing, but it's a start. The last thing to think about, keep track. Keep track. You're going to start to see a change in your heart. You're literally going to get to see it. It takes a while, but you're going to get to experience that. And you know what? For some of us, it is money, right? For some of us, well, make a commitment. This week, you're going to transform that one thing into this. A little bit. Just start small. Like, just do it one time. See how it goes. For some of us, it's going to be the investing in, my kids and their sports teams, the most important thing. And maybe to step back from that and think about instead in developing them spiritually a little bit. Or investing in somebody else's kid instead of yours. For some of us, it's going to be vanity, right? Looking great, looking beautiful. I heard a story about a guy who, he bit his fingernails. And his wife got him a manicure. And just by looking at his beautiful new finger, that cut his habit because his heart was invested in having good looking hands. Well, some of us have a lot of investment in good looking faces and good looking clothes. What would it look like instead to transform that and say, I'm going to invest in making somebody else look good? Just a little bit, pay that compliment. Notice. For some of us, it's pride. Man, we just love when people look at us and think that we're great and we have all the answers. And for us, for people like us, what it is to say, I'm gonna build somebody else up. Or even better, instead of looking at me, I'm going to point someone to God. I'm going to point someone to Jesus instead and have him be the king. So I'm asking us, every one of us, to at least just transform one treasure this week and then start building on it. Imagine what would happen if all of us stopped investing in this and started investing in that. How radical would our lives change? How crazy would people be like, these people are insane that they're doing this. And yet they are. How powerful a testimony to the truth of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus, would it be to see us doing these things in faith? I don't think there's anything that could be more powerful in this culture than us saying, I'm not going to invest in this anymore. I'm going to start investing in this. Transform a treasure today. If you need to talk to someone or pray, we have a prayer team in the back there. If you're thinking through something, you're like, ah, this treasure is taking over. This is, and I gotta transfer. And you need someone to be with you in that. We're gonna have people back there. And if maybe missions is some place where you need to start getting in yourself and start getting out there right after the service, head in and we'll have a meeting there. But let's transform one treasure today. Gracious God and Father, you know what's pricked our hearts. You know where we invest our time, our money, our energy, our treasure. You know what we stock up and lock down. You know what we hoard. But God, in Jesus Christ, you showed us a different way. A way instead of building ourselves up, to give ourselves away entirely in a sacrificial death, to remove sin and to bring the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, stir in our hearts today. Stir us up to transform a treasure. Just one. Let us move outside of ourselves. Let us not be seeking gold and silver, but instead seeking you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.